طاهر المعصومين واللانة الدائمة الباقية إلى أعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد, sisters and brothers in Iman, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. From tonight, inshallah, we will begin the brief review of Dua Kumail, which is a very common dua that we recite. And the purpose is basically to make it more meaningful, so that whenever we recite it on Thursday nights, you know, it has its own desired impact, and not just the ritual of reading it. I started this last year in Ramadan, however the schedule didn't work out. I had to squeeze everything in 3 nights, and so we couldn't even reach to the half. So inshallah, I'll go tonight very fast, for those who remember from last year, which I doubt anyway. So, but we'll go through that, inshallah, so that we can reach to the point where we can conclude, inshallah, by Friday night. Salawat pranek paro. Basically, the dua is known as Dua Kumail because it has reached to us through a very close companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen by the name of Kumail bin Ziyad al-Nakhai al-Kufi. He was a very close companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was with him in Siffin, and he was very well known for his knowledge and righteousness, his taqwa. Even the Sunni historians, they actually, when they talk about it, they say that, you know, although he was a Shia, but he was reliable. So they still, you know, give credence to him. They say he was a reliable Tabi'i. Tabi'i means the generation which came after the Sahaba. So he had not seen Rasulullah, but he's the later generation. And he has narrated quite a few sayings from Amir al-Mu'mineen. The most famous in Nahjul Balagha is saying number 147, where Ali actually took him outside the city and talked about many things, about the importance of knowledge, comparing the superiority of knowledge compared to wealth. That's where he even talks about the Hujja, who will be Zahir or Ghaib. And so he was very close to Amir al-Mu'minin in this sense. And because of his love for Ali, he was killed by Hajjaj Mal'un. And there's a whole story behind it. I'll just summarize it. When Hajjaj became the governor in Kufa, his you know, passion was to find those who love Ali, who were close to Ali, and basically, you know, torture them and kill them. So he asked his people, you know, what about Kumail? I don't see him. They said, you know, he's very old now. He said, doesn't matter, bring him. So when they went after him and he found out that they are looking for me, he ran away somewhere on the mountains. But then Hajjaj basically implemented collective punishment, and he stopped the allowance which was given monthly to the tribe of An-Nakhai, of Kumail. When he heard about that, he said, you know, this is not good, that because of my, because of me, you know, my tribe is suffering. I'm already an old person, I've lived my life, I don't really care. So he came back, and he goes to Hajjaj, and Hajjaj says, you know, do you know what I'm going to do? He said, yes, I know, you are my killer. Amir al-Mu'mineen told me about this. And so whatever you want to do, you do. I'll see you on the Day of Judgment. You know, and this is where he says, وَضْرِبْ عُنُقُهُ, you know, kill, just chop off his head. and he was killed. So, and this dua which has come, it is known by his name because he is the one who asked for it from Amir al-Mu'mineen. And so next time when you go for ziyarat, you know, make a point in Kufa to go and visit his shrine also. He has a haq if you have recited Dua Kumail even once. Salawat Prandik Baro. The dua, the story of the dua is that according to Sayyid ibn Taus, one of the very prominent scholars of the 4th century, he basically has this books of Amal, just like Mafatih al-Jinan that we have during our time. And he narrates that one day, Kumail is narrating that I was there in a masjid in Basra with Amir al-Mu'mineen, and somebody asked him that what is the night which is the night of Qadr? So we have Laylatul Qadr, but there is another night also, and that is the 15th of Eve or 15th of Sha'ban, where we do the Amal also. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, basically responded to them by saying that it is the eve of 15th of Sha'ban, and by Allah, everything good and bad about a person is decided for him for the whole year. So anyone who recites Dua al-Khidr, the Dua of Hazrat Khidr, his prayer will be answered. Nobody said anything after that. You know, people just went away, dispersed. But then at night time, Kumail comes to the Imam. And this is where we see that, you know, when he comes to the Imam, Imam basically says to him, Ma ja abika ya Kumail? You know, what brings you at this time now? You were here with the others when we were talking about different issues. And this is where he says, you know, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Dua al-Khudr. I would like to learn that dua. And this is where Imam says to him, sit down, O Kumail, when you have memorized this dua. So it's important that, you know, Imam wants him to memorize it after writing it down. So he says, you know, once you have memorized this dua, then recite it every Thursday or once a month or once a year or at least once in your lifetime. You know, Amir al-Mu'mineen is putting that much emphasis in this dua known as Dua Kumail. So what we do on Thursday night is not just a custom and tradition we have made. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen himself emphasizing that, you know, recite every Thursday. And that will suffice you, help you, sustain you, and you will never lose the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, O Kumail, I'm doing this because of our old friendship, طول الصحبة. You know, your long companionship with us has compelled me to respond to your request. So write it down. So this is where Ali is now dictating, and Kumail bin Ziyad is writing it down. And eventually he must have memorized it. So this is how the dua has come to us. Basically, what I've done, you know, based on observation of other scholars who have come before, you can actually divide this dua into three different parts. You know, the beginning, the middle, and the end. Basically, the first part is where Amir al-Mu'mineen is teaching us the language of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pleading from him something which is very essential. And then in the second part, we see it's the language of love. And we'll, inshallah, when we come to that point, We'll talk more about it. And the final is, you know, we are asking for five important things. Tonight I'll just look at the first part, and that also is divided into four sections, but we'll only deal with the first one tonight. So we're talking about the language of praise, and it's divided into four parts by itself: the plea for forgiveness of sins, seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expressing our hopelessness compared to Allah's power, and number fourth would be confessing our weakness. And so this is where the beginning of the dua starts. Allahumma inni as'aluka, that oh my Lord, oh Allah, I am asking you. But before you want to ask what I'm asking, oh Allah, I am asking you through these realities. Number one, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulli shay, وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وظل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبإزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملعت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط به كل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء يا نور يا قدوس يا أول الأولين وآخر الآخرين. So all these, you know, lines that you see on the left, all are connected with اللهم إني أسألك. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 by we, or Allah, I'm asking you by highlighting one of your attributes. Rahmat, Quwwat, Jabarut, Izzat, Azamat, Sultan, your Wajh, your Asma, your Ilm, your Noor. And if you actually count all of them till the end, there are 14 attributes of Allah that Ali is teaching us to ask whatever you want, later on it will come. But through these, you know, attributes of Allah. So let's just go through it very quick here. I ask you, number one, by your mercy that encompasses all things. Now when you look at it, you know, I'd just like to give you one or two comments on each, you know, each one of these lines. Salawat parne ek baar. Basically, when we talk about the quwwatika allati bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kullu shay, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, first remember the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmat of Allah. Why? Because this is the most comprehensive attribute of God. And even the words, you know, it encompasses everything. You know, the word rahmah, and from that we derive two names of God. We say Rahman and we say Rahim. There is a difference in there. And the difference is that Rahman is for all beings, all creatures, the entire universe. Whereas Rahim is specific for the believers. For example, we have the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quoting Prophet Isa alayhi salam, where he says, Ar-Rahman, Rahmanu dunya, wal-Rahim, Rahimul akhirah. So the same element of mercy, but you know, one is universal for everyone, which is applicable in dunya, but the other is for mu'mineen. And you will see, you know, even in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Araf, ayat number 156, he says, وَرَحْمَتِ وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My rahmat covers everything. So Amir al-Mu'mineen has taken that ayat here and he's using it in this way, that, oh Allah, I ask you in the name of your rahmah, which encompasses everything. You know, it's this rahmat, which is the rahmat of Rahman, is like water or like the sun. When the rain comes, it doesn't say, oh, this is a mu'min's house, so I'll go on the roof of that, and the other one is a fasiq or a kafir, so I'll bypass. No. It goes everywhere. When the sun rises, you know, the rays touch all parts of the world, which are in daytime. And so there is no differentiation between believer, non-believer, you know, fasiq, muttaqi. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, this is the zahiri rahmat which covers everything. If you want to see what is the batini rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to go to that ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. It is Muhammad and Ali Muhammad who are the manifestation of the batini rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not water or the sunlight, it is this, the process of guidance and hidayat. Salawat Barna Akbar. And then we say, we ask you by your strength, which, you know, through which you have subdued all things, and all things submit to you, and all things humble themselves before your power and your strength. And this is where, you know, in Quran, it says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, that he has absolute, you know, power over his creatures. Then we go on to, I ask you by your compelling power that prevails on all things. وَبِجَبْرُوتِكَ الَّتِي غَلَبْتَ بِهَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. It's again reflection of that Allah's power. وَبِعِزَّتِكَ الَّتِي لَا يَقُومُ لَهَا شَيْءٍ. And your might against which nothing can stand up. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show his power, nobody can come and challenge there. And this is where we see that, you know, فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ جَمِيعًا. When we talk about izzat, not in the Urdu or Gujarati meaning, izzat means power. Al-Aziz means the one who is powerful. Salawat upon the Ikbarar. وَبِعَزَمَتِكَ الَّتِي مَلْعَتْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And your greatness which permeates all things. And this is the azamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, وَبِسُلْطَانِكَ الَّذِي عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And your governance prevails over all things. وَبِوَجْهِكَ الْبَاقِ بَعْدَ فَنَاءِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. I ask you by your everlasting essence. Here, wajh doesn't mean face. It means the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is everlasting. When everything will perish, he still be there. As'aluka, I ask you, bi asma'ika allati mala'at arkana kulli shay. I ask you by your beautiful names that fill the pillars of the universe. Now, what does it mean? One of the levels of the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually are the angels. And the angels are the workers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the issue that asma basically fill the pillars of all things. On one level, it could even apply for the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then again, I ask you by your knowledge that encompasses all things. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supreme. And Allah qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma. Surah 65, 12. You know, Allah's knowledge covers everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. And finally, Allahumma in yasaluka bi nuri wajhika alladhi adha'a laha kulli shay'in. Oh Allah, I ask you by the light of essence, your essence that enlightens everything, because wherever is there is nur and existence, that is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Ali is teaching us to conclude by saying, ya nur, ya quddus, O the light, O the most holy, the first of the first ones and the last, the eternal of those who will be the end. Salawat Pranik Parah. So if you look at this screen there, you will see that we have asked him, I ask you by your mercy, your strength, your might, your governance, your names, your knowledge, your light. Ask what? This whole passage you are just saying, oh Allah, I ask you through your attributes. What are you asking? And that's where we go to the second phase, where Amir al-Mu'mineen is saying, the very first thing you need to ask is the forgiveness for your sins. And this is where he actually takes us to this issue of forgiveness. The most important blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the maghfirah. And not only that, this is actually the first stage in spiritual development. Once we realize ourselves, once we evaluate, you look at our own situation, we have to first cleanse ourselves spiritually. Only then we can move forward. And so maghfirah and tawbah are the very first step in reaching higher levels of spirituality. And so the way Amir al-Mu'mineen is asking us is that there are six categories of sins. He says, after talking to Allah, that, oh Allah, I ask you by your power, your knowledge, your majesty, your nur, all these 14 qualities, what are we asking? Allahumma ighfir li. Oh Allah, forgive me al-dhunub allati. You are now talking about categories. Oh Allah, forgive for me the sins which do certain things. تَحْتِكُ الْعِسَمْ وَتُنْزِلُ النِّقَمْ وَتُغَيُّرُ النِّعَمْ وَتَحْبِسُ الدُّعَاءَ وَتُنْزِلُ الْبَلَاءَ وَتَقْطَعُ الرِّجَاءَ. And at the end we say, اللهم اغفر لكل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. Just look at the English one of, O Allah, forgive me the sins that shatter the sense of propriety. You know, each one of us has this inner voice, inner light, conscious. Whenever we do something, it says, this is wrong, don't do it. As long as that is alive, you are good. The problem is when that is dead completely. And that is that sense of propriety, isma. If you look at the words there, Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tahtiku al-isam. Isam is plural of isma. Isma, we use the word even for masum, infallibility. So we have a very lower, kind of infallibility if we have our conscience still alive. The pleas that, oh Allah, forgive me the sins that shatter the sense of propriety. And this is where, we can go into all the details of the categories, but I'll come to that very quick now. Second category, the sins that bring down calamity, niqam. The sins that change divine blessings into something else. The sins that prevent my dua from reaching to you. Sometimes there are barriers there. The sins that bring down affliction, bala. The sins that make me lose, you know, hope in you and your mercy. And so Allah, forgive me every sin that I have committed and every mistake that I have done. Now, we'll end with this, you know, categories of this sins here. They are from the hadith that we have from the Imams, alayhi salatu wasalam. When it comes to the first category, sins that shatter one's sense of propriety, when a person becomes shameless, he doesn't care about it anymore. The sixth Imam has given a list of those. One is drinking intoxicants, and we know a person is not even in his right senses, doesn't care what he's doing, whether people can see him or not. You know, gambling does the same thing. Indulging in plays that cause mockery among the people. You know, some people think that, you know, oh, I'm becoming very famous. Everybody laughs at me when I do certain things. Maintain your self-respect, you know. Islam doesn't allow you to bring yourself down. Gossiping about the hidden defects and weakness of the people. Associating with the people who have evil thoughts about your faith. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, it's there, nothing to do with me. But, you know, we, association itself is a problem with this kind of people. The second category, the dhunub allati tunzilu niqam, which bring down calamities. One of the first things in the ahadith is the rebellion against Allah's commandments. You see, there is a difference between not following the commandment and rejecting or opposing. That's the meaning of rebellion. No, nobody is masoom. They know when they do something, you know, where they are not supposed to do, they know this is a mistake I'm doing. Means they still respect the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although there is a weakness, you know, they were overcome with desire and whatever. But if a person says, I don't really believe in it, doesn't make sense to me. This is where we come to the issue of rebellion. Violating people's right. Ridiculing the people. Not paying the wajib zakat. If wajib zakat is applicable on you, which, you know, I have yet seen to see any Shia who is a farmer or raises animals, you know, to become eligible to pay wajib zakat. But if it is wajib on a person, then, and they don't pay, this is where niqam, calamities come on him. Flaunting the laws of modesty publicly. You know, when we talk about hijab for men and women both. The third category of the sins that tughayyur ni'am, which changes the divine blessings into something else. You know, the Imams, the way they've explained, number one, violating people's right. You see, this is coming again and again. Huququn nas, this is a very important issue. We can't only be good by saying, okay, I'm doing namaz and roza and going for hajj and ziyarat. But you also have to take care of the huququn nas. Abandoning good habits and good deeds, being ungrateful to Allah's blessing, severing ties with your relatives, silatul rahim, we have talked about it many, many times, diminishing the measure in sale, you know, you are basically not giving the items the amount which is to be, you know, given to your customer. And the fourth category, the sins, allati tuhbisu ad-du'a, Tahbis al-du'a means it prevents the du'a from reaching to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, impure intention in what you are asking. Sometimes, you know, a person might be very angry against someone and then he does du'a, Allah do this and that to him. Well, the intention is not, you know, pure. And so the du'a is not even going to reach there anyway. Having evil thoughts in what, intentions in what you do. This is where the purity of niyyat comes in. Delaying salat until it becomes qadha. You know, when we talk about tahbis al-du'a, the du'a is not reaching there. This is where we have to see, is that something that I'm missing? And one of them, it could be that delaying the salat until it becomes qadha. Causing distress to parents by your deeds. Not your bad deeds, even your good deeds. Suppose, you know, it was a chaotic situation, let's say, in Iraq. You've gone to ziyarat many times, but you still insist, I'll go this time also. And your parents feel very distressed. They are worried for you. What does the Sharia say to you? You actually have to not go that time. Because you're doing a good deed, but then you are putting your parents in distress. The fifth category of dhunub allati tundhiru al-bala, which brings down bala, afflictions. Abandoning amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. Al-amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, commanding right and forbidding wrong. These are the two most fundamental pillars of a Muslim society. If this is abandoned, the community or the society cannot claim to be in Islamic anymore. Being indifferent to the oppressed, mazloom. If you have the ability to say, to do whatever, to support them, and yet you are indifferent, this is where the bala comes. Excessively indulging in haram desires. I think the point of being excessive is people are not infallible, but they still have to control the level of how much they are giving into the desires. The sixth category of dhunub allati taqta'u ar-raja, the sins which actually makes me lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That state itself, Al-Ya'as min Rahmatillah, is one of the major sins after shirk. Mistrust in Allah's mercy. We could be at the lowest level spiritually, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not lose, you know, hope in my forgiveness. If you come to me, my door is still open. You are the one who will turn away. Turned away from me. Putting your trust in other than Allah. Disbelieving in Allah's promise. And so basically we see that, you know, after describing, you know, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this six categories of sins, then we end with a very general statement. Allahumma ighfir li kulli dhanbin adhnabtuhu wa kulli khatiyatin aqta'tuha. That, oh Allah, forgive me every sin that I have committed and every mistake that I have done. You know, let me conclude now by saying that in Shabiq Qadr's A'mal, we recite this tasbih, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh, 70 times. And I always start with one of these lines. Then we go to 10 times, and then the second line. This is from Dua Kumail. Okay, so that's not part of the A'mal in that way, but just to give it a meaning that when you are saying, astaghfirullah, which kind of, you know, sins you have to keep in the mind. So inshallah we'll continue this tomorrow. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.